that time comes around. We welcome for the second part of Shine Today, Adele Gardner with Meridian Trust. Good morning, Adele.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving week. Yes. Short week, so you can't really beat that. And then, of course, all the yummy food that we get to look forward to.
Headed our way.
I like this topic today, Adele, because we are headed into the holiday season. You're talking a little bit about behavioral finance, which, well, actually means what?
Well, really, it's taking a look at why we spend money the way that we do. And there's a little bit of psychology behind the way that we shop and we spend our money. And so as we head into the holiday season, I thought that this would be a good topic to just kind of remind ourselves and maybe gut check ourselves on how we're spending, what we're spending on, and maybe a bigger why about the way that we spend money. And so not only for the holidays, but all year round, right, when we are living in an instant gratification society, this is something that can kind of help us actually think through why we spend money the way we do.
Yeah, you talk a little bit about emotional spending in this, and which means, you know, obviously you spend based on the emotions you're feeling, I guess, at the time. So what are some of those?
Well, you know, due to a recent Harvard study, almost 95% of the spending that we do is in an emotional response to something. And so for many people, boredom, stress, sadness, understimulation all go into the reason why we are constantly perusing on those apps on our phone. Or if we see something on social media, we're like, ooh, we need that. And so it kind of is deeper than just, oh, I want it, right? In this society, we've kind of crossed our wires a little bit under those basic wants versus needs. And so because now we want it and I can get it in some places, right, that have same day delivery, I can have it on my doorstep within 2 or 3 hours. That has kind of clouded our understanding and our thinking process of wants versus needs, right? I teach financial literacy sometimes to kindergartners through high school, right? And we start with kindergartners on basic wants versus needs, right? And as grown-ups, sometimes we forget that also.
We need to go back to kindergarten yeah. to retake your class.
Or just a financial literacy. So that's what I'm here for.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about maybe those signs that we can look out for. Maybe, you know, if you know you're spending emotionally, things to kind of take note on.
Yeah, you know, I think that if you are spending beyond your means, right, and so if you are all of a sudden putting a little bit more on a credit card, or you're spending thinking, well, I guess now I'll buy it now and I'll pay for it later. Those are some things that you might want to take note of. Or if you are having your Amazon packages, and I just use Amazon as an example, right? Plug in your favorite vendor.
Right.
But if you are having those delivered to a different place, or knowing that your significant other is at work or away, and having them all ordered and delivered while they're not going to see those packages, or consolidating them in the trunk before you open it when you get home, all of those are a little cue for you that you're probably doing something a little bit secretive and that you may be embarrassed about or not proud of and things like that. You know, when we first moved to Cheyenne a couple years ago, I had changed my Amazon delivery to my work office. And my husband gave me big kudos, right? He's like, gosh, since we moved, you're just not getting any Amazon packages. And I'm like, you're right. I am so good. Until they were all being delivered to the office. And so then you take a look at the statement and all of those purchases are still there. And I think for many of us, we don't even know what's on our doorstep. Right. So we walk home and we're like, ooh, what's in the package today? That, again, I think goes back to those wants versus needs of yesterday. I really, really needed those highlighters or whatever it was that today that thrill is kind of gone. And so I think that that goes back to the psychology of it, because when we think, ooh, I need this, right, to get that stimulation in my brain. It used to be kind of window shopping, right? You could go walk through the mall or go window shop. And for some of us, that's still okay, right? And that still kind of satisfies that need. But for many of us now, I get it. And maybe the excitement over it is gone because that was yesterday. Yeah. And now today, now I've got this. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm still going to use it because I bought it. But that thrill is over. So if we can think about that and be real with that, and that can help curb some of our spending.
Well, you're exactly right. How many times, you know, do you find something, you know, window shopping, something that's a pretty big purchase, and you go home and think about it and decide, you know, I don't really need that now. But as like you said, with the instant, you know, shopping right there, you don't have time to even think about it, something that you really want.
So yeah, you know, one of the
slippery slope there.
It is. And there's a couple of things that you can do if you're falling into these categories of, ooh, I might actually be emotionally spending, mm-hmm. is set yourself a dollar limit. You know, if it's $200, if that's your limit, right? Or $100 or whatever fits, you can say anything that's over $100, I'll put in my cart and I'm going to have kind of a waiting period that after 3 days or 2 days, if I still really want it, I'll go ahead and make the purchase, right? But when we are all of a sudden making $100 purchases day after day after day after day, that can wreak havoc on a budget. So setting those to have kind of that waiting period, so you're not having a buyer's remorse, or just to better gauge what you actually truly want. And I think that as we are going through it, especially in the holiday season, we're buying lots of things for other people, maybe shifting that to a few smaller gifts and things for people, right? That look at our houses and the amount of stuff we have in our houses, but maybe curbing that a little bit more for experience-based things that families can go and enjoy together, or your daughter wants dance lessons instead of, you know, the playhouse and all the things that go with it. So kind of that experience-based spending can also help with that.
I like how you have on here, you know, to kind of identify your triggers, excuse me. And one of those is maybe, you know, if as you say in here, you know, if ads on social media are your triggers, or any part of social media, you have, I didn't realize this, 1.2 billion people use Instagram. If that's kind of, you know, your problem or your triggers, you know, take action. Do something about that then.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Instagram, over a billion people use Instagram, and marketing companies and marketers and products know more about us than likely we know about ourselves, right? We have these small computers in our hands that we use every day, and they know everything about us, right? They know more than some of our spouses know about our spending and where we're spending our time and shopping and all of those things. So if you can be aware of that and you can truly monitor it, if you need to stay off of social media during this time of year or whatever that is, or if you're feeling sad or you're feeling lonely or you're feeling the urge, do something else during that time, just because marketers know what they're doing, right? And they make big money off of us as consumers. And so sometimes it's just like you don't want to feed the system, right? And break the algorithm and do something else other than clicking on that cart or putting that item on your instant pay. One of the small things that I've actually done is, you know, I have Apple Pay on my digital wallet or whatever, but actually removing that, if I'm in one of those moods, because if I have to go all the way out to my card that's in my car or whatever in my wallet, likely that moment has passed. And when I come back, I'm like, it's not worth it.
Right.
But if it's on Apple Pay or if it's connected to my device, saved in there, very easy to buy now. And poof, that's done.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You know, just as simple as, you know, we use the example of Amazon, but, you know, your credit card information is stored right in there. So it's one click and it's done. And you don't have to re-enter anything. So it makes it really easy just to hit that button and purchase.
Well, and isn't that so thoughtful?
Yeah.
Isn't that so thoughtful?
Thank you, Amazon.
And so again, you know, when I sit back and I think about that, I'm like, gosh, they are so good at what they do, right? They want to remove all of the friction for us, right? And make it so easy. And I appreciate that to a point, right? In this society, we don't want to have clunky processes and have to fight and muddle through it. But they also do that for a very purposeful reason. And that's because they want us to buy whatever they are selling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some other statistics out there about, you know, how many people go out to YouTube and watch a review of the item they're looking to buy, right? And they have people, they call them influencers, out there really trying to push how great that product is. And advertising and media has all changed, and they are targeting the way that our brains work. Oh, yeah. And so we need to be aware of that emotional spend.
Credit union, financial institutions like Meridian Trust, you know, you guys have tools there to kind of help track people with their spending. I mean, if that's an option that people would like to take. Do you find that during this time of the year, maybe after this time of the year, you get a lot of people in there saying, look, I went a little overboard, help me, where do I go?
Yeah, so we absolutely have tools in place. We have card spend limits, so if you need to adjust your spend limits. We have alerts, so if your card's being used or anything like that, you can set up those various alerts and text messages and things like that. And then, you know, we have always the ability to help with budgeting. Set yourself a budget aside for this. We also have tools that have like a holiday savings account, where all throughout the year you can fund these savings accounts. So then when the holidays get here, you've already budgeted that money and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to spend on. And, you know, in the years of inflation and the looming economy and things like that, I think we really need to be cognizant about the way that we spend money. And certainly as a credit union, we're here to help after the fact. You know, we have things like holiday loans that have low rates on it and things like that. So if you have a big expense, talk to the credit union and we can help you finance your dreams, and also have those conversations of, hey, you know, maybe we could do something differently, or, you know, help set a budget, because that's half the battle, right, is knowing how much I can spend and then staying within those means.
It's, you know, it's a simple concept, but when you have to actually get down and do that, it's not as simple as it sounds.
Yeah, no,
all the time.
It's not a party for sure.
No.
And it takes hard work, right?
Yeah.
When the price of gas and food and commodities and electricity and all of those things are going up, how many people, if they have a budget to start, have gone back through and readjusted that? Or are those balances on credit cards and balances in checking and savings continuing to go down? A readjustment period, right? And that's another thing that after the holidays, if you're like, oh man, well, I can't do it today, I'm not ready yet, mm-hmm. but maybe I am emotionally spending a bit, or hey, this might be me. After the holidays, right, go in and really start a 2023 budget. So next year, you'll be set up for success. And another thing that is a hard pill to swallow, but if you are maybe falling into one of these categories, is break up with your prime, right? Again, I use that example of Amazon just because they make it so easy. Mm-hmm. But we canceled our prime. So now if I want it, I am going to wait for normal shipping, if you can believe that.
What is that?
I know, right? It's terrible. And so if you can wait, and then again, that helps with that kind of spending window of like, if I really, really, really need it today, then I should be able to drive to the store and get it, right? Like if it's that big of a deal. If not, I either need to be willing to wait, or 9 times out of 10, that feeling will have passed. And I don't make the purchase. And so breaking up with Prime has certainly helped my budget. And I don't have to hide packages from my husband. And our branch at downtown is not like, hey, Adele, you have another package
Amazon
here.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, some great advice there as always. Adele Gardner with Meridian Trust. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We
Thank
appreciate
you for
your
having
time.
Me.
Have safe travels. I know you're going to be traveling a little bit during